Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Fresh Air with Terry Gross coming up right after Air Talk at noon today. And Terry's guest will be Alison Bechtel, who wrote the graphic memoir Fun Home, about coming out and discovering that her father had a secret gay life. Her new graphic memoir, The Secret to Superhuman Strength, is about her lifelong obsession with exercise. Terry Gross with Alison Bechtel coming up on Fresh Air at noon today. Well, thrift shopping, of course, has been a thing for people in all different economic classes for some time now. But one of the things that we've seen with the rise of internet resale is that often fashions that people are able to buy at thrift stores, you know, very, very deep discounts, then are turned around, sold for significant individual profit via reselling websites. The question is, you know, what does that do to the thrift store experience itself? And is that creating a kind of gentrification in the process? Joining us to talk about it is Jennifer Lazat, Assistant Professor of History and Material Culture at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. She's author of From Goodwill to Grunge, A History of Secondhand Styles and Alternative Economies. Professor Lazat, thank you very much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Nice to be here.
How far back does this buying on the cheap at thrift stores and reselling to the fashion conscious, how far back does that go?
Well, I would say at least to the 1950s in the United States, but there are definitely trends of what could be considered sort of economic appropriation going back to interested parties in the 1920s, like surrealist artists who really love to haunt flea markets and, you know, sort of dig into kind of slumming it economically in order to be inspired in their art. So it depends on how you look at profit that is intended, whether it's, you know, sort of cultural capital or economic capital, both have existed for many decades.
And was that heavily critiqued, some of those earliest examples you cite?
No, not in the same way. In fact, I think from those examples is when a kind of myth grew up around thrift shopping, that thrift shopping was a mode of capitalism that kind of escaped the nastier parts of capitalism, right? So sort of that formal and firsthand consumerism embodied, especially in the anti-capitalist 1960s. So I think there's been a myth built up around thrift shopping and secondhand clothing, especially, that has enabled it to escape much of that criticism, not entirely, but to a greater degree than other firsthand venues.
We're talking with historian Jennifer Lazat from the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. I'd like to hear from you if you're someone who's a frequent shopper at thrift stores, and if you're someone who does resell items that you find, or you shop for other people looking for finds, give us a call. Let us know what your experience is like. I also know that wardrobe folks with production companies use thrift stores a great deal to find very unique kinds of things to dress actors in productions. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Professor, one of the things that seem kind of missing just in the couple of articles that I've read about this is sort of the charity behind the thrift store, because not knowing much about this, sort of my my initial thought was, well, what's really important is the money going to the charity behind it, whether it's Goodwill or a hospital, resale store. And from my understanding, you know, most of the clothing that's donated doesn't even make it into the store. Much of it goes to people of low income, totally free of charge. They don't even have to go to the store in many cases to buy it. And so I guess my thought was, well, if the charity is making money off the sale, why do we care that someone is purchasing it, benefiting the charity, and then reselling it for more money? The charity probably wouldn't be selling it for more money in the first place. So why is this an issue?
Well, first of all, I think that it bears a little bit of reexamination to call all of these places charities, right? So the designation nonprofit was established sort of mid-century, a little bit before that in the United States. And that's because direct giving charity had really gone out of fashion at the turn of the 20th century. And this coincides exactly with the establishment of those kind of standalone and later chain stores like Salvation Army and Goodwill, which began to have something resembling, though they weren't yet called thrift stores, in the very early years of the 20th century. And those were places that absolutely were collecting donated items from better off families in order to, early on, distribute it to lower income families and immigrants, but also to resell them and make money to help various, you know, modes of their charitable establishment or proselytizing. A lot of them are connected, of course, to religious organizations and have that as an evangelical goal connected to them. But decreasingly, more and more, they did not donate the clothes directly, right? So direct giving charity starts to go out of fashion. And so like Goodwill and Salvation Army, they sort of had the added requisite that people coming to them for help had to also work in the stores, right? So there's this growing belief that there's deserving poor and undeserving poor, and direct giving through clothing and stuff starts to be rerouted towards trying to provide the misfortunate with the opportunity to work themselves and earn enough money to buy these deeply discounted secondhand clothing. So this really demonstrates a whole complicated shift in the landscape of charitable giving in the early part of the 20th century.
Now, that doesn't still hold today, though. I didn't think that this huge volume of donated clothes that goes to lower income people, they don't have to work in the store to get that now, do they?
It depends on how they, there's so many, very many different charitable organizations that run thrift stores. Some of them are specifically in order to distribute clothing, especially professional clothing. But some of the biggest chained ones like Salvation Army and Goodwill, it is a minute amount of clothing that is directly given. And sort of their raison d'etre and their proposed reason for existing is to give people job skills along the way while also helping them along with, a professional presentation.
Do they then trash all that clothing? Because they get obviously many, many, many times more clothes than they can sell. Does that just go to the landfill?
Absolutely. Well, some of it, yes. Many tons of it now does, but there are whole layers of disrupted, consumer here. So if they're rejected by the mainstream secondhand consumer at your Goodwill store in Poughkeepsie, then it might be sold to the very large corporate redistributor of secondhand goods. The acronym is SMART, S-M-A-R-T, where they will be sold in bulk in just bales of cloth overseas, many times to developing countries, and reprocessed that way. So there are lots of different modes of distribution, and these have developed beginning post-World War II, but really the amount of clothing that is sold in this sort of bulk fashion overseas has multiplied.
So is that one of the reasons we see a lot of these American T-shirts on people in developing countries?
Absolutely.
All right. We're talking with historian Jennifer Lazotte. She's with the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, assistant professor of history and material culture, and author of the book from about 4 years ago, From Goodwill to Grunge, A History of Secondhand Styles and Alternative Economics. Also with us from the global market research firm Mintel, senior research analyst focusing on retail and e-commerce, Alexis DeSalva Kaler. Thank you so much, Alexis, for being with us again. We appreciate it. Your thoughts about, you know, what we see in the important role of thrift purchases in overall fashion.
Well, thank you for having me, Larry. It's good to be back. We are seeing that secondhand in general was growing even pre-pandemic. Consumers are increasingly more conscious of their purchases, just being focused on sustainability, focusing on quality, kind of a departure from the fast fashion retailers that were really dictating the early to mid aughts. So we were seeing interest in this growing even pre-pandemic. And then during the pandemic, a lot of the more independent thrift stores are small businesses, and there was a lot of pressure on them with, for obvious reasons, a lot of their business was done in person before COVID. So we've seen a lot of consumers continue to try to, when they are spending, and not many are able to spend that often, be more diligent about value. So how can they maybe stick to a budget, especially now if they have some pandemic related financial challenges, but also how can they support their local small businesses, including a thrift store, and also still try to get a quality item at a more affordable price point. That monetary savings and the quality and affordability combination are really the prime motivations for what continues to drive this secondhand market and interest in the market.
And is that of enough mass to have an effect on, say, the fast fashion sort of trend that we've seen over the past decade?
Yes, I would say so. I think we are definitely seeing things change. I mean, old habits die hard. And I think what people want to do and say they'll do is oftentimes different from what they actually do. However, we've seen in the numbers that consumers are starting to gravitate away from fast fashion retailers. Some of the fast fashion retailers have had challenges with businesses. Forever 21 filed for bankruptcy, I think about 2 years ago now. But that doesn't mean that consumers are always willing to maybe shop small or shop secondhand. You know, that sustainability is still in their mind, but sometimes the convenience aspect wins over and they, or that bottom dollar aspect wins over and they end up going to perhaps a less sustainable or less resourceful option. But we are seeing that market shift where some of those specialty retailers or fast fashion retailers are starting to kind of lose share, lose trips. And meanwhile, the number who are interested in or shopping in some of these alternative retail options like your secondhand or thrift stores is growing.
We're talking with Alexis DeSalva Kaler, who is senior research analyst on retail and e-commerce at the research firm Mintel, Jennifer Lazotte, historian and professor, University of North Carolina, Wilmington. I'd like to hear from you. If you are a frequent thrift shopper, perhaps someone who even does resell or purchase for other people, I'd be very interested to hear what your experiences are and what you see from the thrift stores that you go to. Let's talk with Jana in Pasadena. Good to have you with us. What's your experience shopping at thrift stores?
Well, I've been a thrift shopper for about the last 16 years or so, and at one point about 95% of my wardrobe was thrifted. I am a personal shopper and stylist, and I just love the thrill of going in for the hunt and finding, you know, luxury items at ridiculous prices. And I think that is really how a lot of people get into thrift shopping. Now, because it has been capitalized on with resellers, the same items that I would be able to get, you know, for like $2, as an example, I got like a Chanel skirt from a Goodwill several years ago for $2. That would be almost impossible to find now because many of the thrift shops are aware that a majority of their consumer base is now resellers. So now Goodwill has this online auction website where they've trained their sorters to look for certain brands to send to this online thrift shop. To their online thrift shop, and they're shipping all across the country. So now we're now impacted by another life cycle of this clothing. With thrift shopping was always community based and community centered, and people from the community shop there. And now they're wearing the clothes, and then hopefully they would return them right back. Now we're now into shipping costs. Now we're into creating a whole new globalization with product being shipped across the country when it was never intended to continue on that life cycle. So I'm actually opposed to reselling. It has taken the joy out of thrifting, and now that's really left in a lot of thrift stores are clothing from fast fashion retailers that do not last more than a couple of life cycles. So the commercialization of thrift shopping has really stolen the joy out of it for thrifters like myself.
Jana, what a call. We could have booked you as a guest on this segment. Terrific observations as someone who's been doing this for 16 years. That's Jana in Pasadena. I'll hear what our guests have to say about that as we continue. We also have Shanna in West Covina who'll be talking with us and number of other listeners to share their experience thrifting and how they see the thrift store experience evolving. We're at 866-893-KPECC, and we'll be back in just 1 minute. Elizabeth Aguilera tweets at Air Talk, this conversation regarding reselling thrift store clothes reminds me of the bougie rescues taking certain dogs from shelters and charging more for adoption and rejecting some applicants takes away from people who do adopt from shelters because it's affordable and who want dog options. That's Elizabeth tweeting at Air Talk. We're at 866-893-KPECC. Elizabeth, KPECC alum, our healthcare reporter here for some time at KPECC. Wonderful to have her tweeting at the show today. And you can as well. You can tweet at Air Talk. You can post on our Air Talk Facebook page, post on the Air Talk page at kpecc.org. Or you can call at 866-893-KPCC. Jana, a terrific call in which she really laid out her concerns about the thrift store experience. Professor Jennifer Lazat, University of North Carolina, Wilmington, your response to what Jana observes?
Well, I have no doubt that this process of differentiating donations has accelerated in recent years, but it's not a new process. Certainly, major chain stores like Goodwill and Salvation Army have responded to consumer demand for generations. In the 1990s, they would even, posit themselves as your Goodwill headquarters and separate clothing that they thought would be desirable based on the fashions of the time, and also accumulate all the clothing within regions, not the widespread distribution that Jana was so keenly honing in on, but distribute certain kinds of clothing to areas where it would be more popular, specifically, collegian neighborhoods. So targeting audiences is nothing new for Goodwill and Salvation Army, at least not in It dates at least back to the 1980s and 1990s, but the sort of broader dissemination and targeting and online sort of marketing is probably a newer or increasing phenomenon.
Carlotta tweets at AirTalk, my vintage shopping started in my mother's closet. Many cultural and fashion movements wouldn't have happened without thrift shopping. Punk rock would not have had skinny black jeans without thrifting and thrifted kilts and plaid pants, etc. Maybe the problem is too much product. That's Carlotta tweeting at AirTalk. Let's talk with Shanna in West Covina. Shanna, I understand you're a frequent thrift shopper. What's your observation about changes that have occurred in the time you've been shopping there?
Oh, yeah. So, hey, Lara, for me, I have, like, my own routine. I have a couple of, like, thrift shops in my area, and there's, like, the one, and it's all personal for me. I'm not, like, a reseller or anything. This is all just my own enjoyment. I have the ones I go to for jewelry, the one for clothing, the one for the best bags, and it's always been fun. And obviously, since COVID happened, I kind of missed that thrifting. So I went in and tried to do like an online, because there are a lot of people do the refill online, and I thought I could get that same joy. But yes, there is a markup, first of all. And two, kind of like what your previous caller alluded to, just the community feel of it. It's very different to like purchase from like a very hipster Etsy shop who's reselling something that was obviously thrifted at like a higher up price. I really don't feel very connected to the things I'm buying. There is the thrill of the hunt, but I also too, just like that idea of going around in my community, because I also find myself, you know, I'll make a day of it. Like before this pandemic started, I would thing in one area and just kind of frequent the store, like to go to a coffee nearby, or like just frequent other shops in that area. And I kind of miss that.
Yeah, online is not the same experience, I'm sure. Shanna, thank you very much in West Covina. Evans in the Frogtown area of Los Angeles, share with us your observation in your time thrift shopping.
Yeah, starting back in high school, I was a thrift store hunter for clothing, and the evolution of it has just really kind of impressed me deeply. I've even located a local store, the Way We Wore.
Great name.
Is a vintage right on La Brea, and Doris Raymond. I was actually hired by her to photograph some of her personal collection that she's collected from all over the world, the stuff she even loans out to the Costume Institute for exhibit. And the elevation and preservation of even couture clothing goes through the thrift shop world. So just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah, Evans, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Monica in San Pedro, you've been shopping at thrift stores for 40 years, I understand.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. So how has it changed?
Well, when I first started shopping, poor people shopped there. I had a neighbor that had three daughters, and they went to buy all their school clothes at this thrift store. And I never really went to Goodwill or Salvation Army. There was so many independent thrift stores back then. And you could find great things, you know, labels or anything you wanted. And now, as the years have gone by, you know, you don't see the poor people shopping. I was saying, I used to live in Santa Monica, and I would go to the Goodwill, and I'd drive in, and there'd be Mercedes, Lexus, all these expensive cars. And it's like, I don't know, it kind of ruined it for me.
Yeah. Yeah, Monica, I appreciate it. Professor Jennifer Lazat, your thoughts on what Monica's seen in four decades of this?
Well, it's interesting because the beginning of the hippie movement and sort of the counterculture commodification of secondhand in the 1960s starts with the very wealthy. So we think a lot of like Portobello Road in London, but also places in San Francisco and in Southern California that capitalized on these trends. But they came out of this small group of aristocratic like world travelers in London who would travel around. Your caller, I believe Shanna, was talking about making a day of it, you know. And today, but much more then, this represents a kind of luxury, being able to travel around and glean these materials to disrupt that sense of community and then compile it, curate it all in one place. It has value, obviously, and it's part of the joy of thrift shopping or going to these beautifully curated consignment shops like The Way We Wore and things like that. But those initially were also accused of the very same thing that we're talking about.
All right. I'm so sorry I have to bring us to a close there, but my thanks to Assistant Professor of History and Material Culture, University of North Carolina, Wilmington, Jennifer Lazat, and Alexis DeSalva, caller of Mintel Global Market Research Firm. Fresh Air is next.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.